Good morning. Bring the House Fisheries. Oops. No, keep it. House Fisheries Committee to order here. It is 8:40 on the 2nd of May. And present are Representative Johnson, Ledoux, Wilson, Johansson, Edgman, myself, Chair Seaton. Today we're going to hear the governor's appointee for the Board of Fish. That's Howard Delo of Big Lake. And we are also going to hear HB 188 Board of Fisheries Authority. Before we get started, I wanted to draw everybody's attention on your desk and for those in the audience as well. We have from Fish and Game, if you remember, we had a very good paper presented to us earlier in the session on a success in achieving salmon escapement goals in monitored systems. And the committee was concerned about the high rate of number of monitored streams that were above their upper escapement goals. And the department and the commissioner came back to us. I mean, we requested that they look at those as far as the amount of fish that were beyond the goals in those 55%. In other words, is it only 1,000 fish or was it 100,000 fish? And what kind of, if they could give us some basic dollar amount. And so what we have is a three-page report, and it's the estimated number of sockeye salmon above upper range of escapement goals and the estimated value of unharvested fish for the years 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then on the right-hand goal is the maximum escapement goal number. So it gives us some comparisons of the number of fish compared to that upper goal and the lost revenue. And you can see in the southeast, we're talking about 1,369,000 in the Bristol Bay. We're looking at 2,349,000 for one system and 8,500,000. This is just 2006. Cook Inlet 500 or westward was 523,000. Chignik about 624, and the and then it's 1,148,000 for the westward annual totals there. And then on the back page we have pink salmon, and so for the different areas. So I think I wanted to put this forward. This is a great report, really readable and in detail, so that we can look at this. And Fish and Game has committed to working with their regional managers to identify possible changes that we need to make or that they can make in management, so that we can not have this foregone harvest, lost revenue to the state, expand opportunity for fishermen across the state in these various regions. And so they will look at those, and they may be coming back to us with other proposals of ways that they, if there's other tools or techniques that they need authorized to allow for the capture of those fish. So I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention, and I think if you analyze that in concert with the achieving a success in achieving salmon escapement goals in monitored system publication that they gave us, it'll give us all a very good background, and possibly if we share that with constituents in our various regions, they may be able to come up with different ideas for recovering some of that foregone harvest. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question about the values. Is that market value or is that value to the state? Do you know how that was? Do you know what that means?
I believe that's the fish value.
The actual market value. Yeah. So the tax on that would be to the state would be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is foregone harvest value for the fishery, for the fish value if that was harvested, and at an average market price in that region, I believe.
I just wonder what number I was looking at. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions on that data we have? Okay. First order of business is hearing, confirmation hearing for Board of Fisheries, Howard Delo, and he is online with us. And Mr. Delo, can you hear us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I can hear you just fine.
Thank you. Would you go ahead and introduce yourself to the committee and kind of give us some of your background? We do have a two-page summary from you, but if you would give us personal perspectives and why you want to be on the Board of Fish and any other information that you would like us to consider.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name's Howard Delo. I live in Big Lake, Alaska. Actually, I'm calling from my home, so I would beg your indulgence if the dogs start barking. I've got the doors closed, but try and keep it quiet. I'm retired from Fish and Game. I spent 21 years with the department, 15 years with the old FRED division. For those of you familiar with the terminology, it was Fisheries Rehabilitation, Enhancement, and Development. I worked in various hatcheries around South Central for 15 years, and then when FRED division was eliminated, I ended up briefly in Commercial Fisheries Division and then ended up in Sport Fish Division. Again, because of the hatchery expertise I had, Sport Fish inherited the few remaining hatcheries the state chose to operate. And then from there, I moved into the boating access program that the Sport Fish Division operates to provide public access to the waters of the state to be able to utilize the fisheries. I have a master's degree in wildlife management from the University of Maine in Orono. I've got a double major, fisheries biology, wildlife management undergraduate degree from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And then I just a general biological science undergraduate degree also from Fairbanks. I was the chair of the Mat Valley Fish and Game Advisory Committee for approximately the last 18 months. I've been involved with the committee for about 3 years as a member of it and kind of paying attention to it for a few years prior to that. I write an outdoor column for the local newspaper up here in the valley. I am not an employee of the newspaper. I write freelance, but apparently they like what I write, I guess, and they've been buying a column from me for almost 6 years now on a weekly basis. My perspective on how the resource needs to be approached for fisheries is, number one, we need to protect the resource. Again, a lot of this, I guess, is a perspective from my employment with the Department of Fish and Game. Their mission, their number one mission, is the protection of the resource to maintain it ad infinitum. And then secondarily, their mandate in their mission statement is to provide opportunity to utilize the harvestable surplus of the resource. I believe in those points, and that's the perspective I'm bringing to the board.
Thank you. Representative Ledoux.
Mr. DeLeo, I'm reading your copy of your column, or one of them, in the Frontiersman. And the column that I'm referring to, it looks like it was written sometime in September 2005. It seems to suggest that the Board of Fish may be stacked against the sports fish interests. So I guess my question to you is, if you were on the Board of Fish, how would you be doing things differently than they're doing them now?
Thank you. Through the chair, if I was on the Board of Fish, I don't know that I would necessarily be doing things differently. I would be bringing a different perspective to the board. I have, like I said, a fairly extensive hatchery background because of my employment with the department, so I can appreciate how that tool can be used in certain specific situations. I'm bringing a public access knowledge to the board that I'm not sure has been there before. And I'm probably bringing a little bit of a regional perspective, but since the board deals with things statewide, we need to look at everybody's concerns and listen to everybody's points of view and make decisions based on department recommendations and what's best for the resource and what will allow the maximum use of the harvestable surplus of the resource.
Follow-up, Representative Ledoux.
Do you believe that right now our state's fish and game resources are primarily managed based upon the biology of the specific animal or the requirements of the habitat of concern?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
I'm asking you whether you believe that our state's fish and game resources are primarily managed based on the biology of the specific animal or the requirements of the habitat or concern.
I'm sure the department actually probably factors both of those in. It depends on the specific area that you might want to talk about. Some areas, the habitat situation is not a problem, so it becomes more the department's task to manage the number of animals. In other areas, habitat is more of a concern, and I'm sure the department would like to be able to do more to address those specific issues.
Follow-up, Representative Ledoux.
Well, I'd like to read you a portion of your column back in September 2005. It states, does anyone out there still believe that our state's fish and game resources are primarily managed based on the biology of the specific animal or the requirements of the habitat of concern? Do you think that politics and socioeconomic factors play only a minor role in our natural resources management and development? If you honestly believe the above, I applaud your principles, but I'm going to burst your bubble. So I guess what I'm asking you is to elaborate a little bit on that comment and explain to me how you would do things differently than they're being done now in light of those comments.
Okay. Through the chair, being an old fish and gamer, I figure I probably maybe can point a finger back at the department a little bit. That's essentially what I was doing. What I have seen over the course of my career is quite often due to lack of staffing and lack of adequate funds to allow the department to create and pursue some rather extensive research and management-oriented research programs. They have been basically only able to deal more with the people part of it. They can set seasons and bag limits and that sort of thing and control the people use of it, but they have not had the resource to do extensive research and that would be management-oriented to allow them to take some specific management steps and make major gains in things like habitat and dealing with the biology of the animal themselves. That comment was directed more along the lines of some of the game situations that are occurring in the state as opposed to fish. But that's kind of where my perspective, what I've seen is when you have, for argument's sake, there are three wildlife staff members in the Palmer office responsible for an area the size of the state of West Virginia. It makes it very difficult for those individuals to do real significant habitat and animal biology management. Their hands are full just dealing with people stuff. And that was kind of the criticism I was leveling in that statement.
I appreciate your
Representative Ledoux.
I appreciate your comments, but I'm actually reading through this whole article, and the article doesn't point out anything with respect to game. It just seems to be talking all about the fishing interests. But thank you.
So, Mr. DeLo, just following up on that, Do you then think, and is your opinion, that the fisheries are currently managed biologically or socially? What?
I think the managers do the best they can, given the information that they currently have available to do the biology part. But I think that there also is a social factor involved. There are a lot of groups out there with different demands on the same resource, and everybody wants a piece of the pie, and the managers hear that. And I'm sure that they are doing the best they can with the information they have. Actually, if I'm on the Board of Fish, one of the things I would like to ask the department to explain to me in detail is, do they have the ability with some of the new techniques and technology that's out there to enhance, refine, and even move forward with some of their management-oriented research to try and refine their ability to manage some of the different species and stocks that are out there, because I think that would make everybody's life a lot easier if they could differentiate, especially in mixed stock fisheries, for instance, if they had a better handle on when what stocks are moving where, when, and they can positively differentiate that to some significant level of meaning. I think it would allow them to address a lot of the concerns like over-escapement and, in our part of the world, under-escapement, and possibly we can start to get the proper numbers of fish into the rivers in all of the areas. I realize that's a little bit idealistic, but that would be the goal that we should try and achieve.
I guess, Mr. Dilo, I'm a little confused. We're talking about the managers, and are you saying that your view is that the department is managing sociologically, or do you mean that the Board of Fisheries, when it is adopting regulations, is managing socially instead of biologically?
I think the department is doing the best they can with the information that they have available to manage biologically. They have to do some things based on the dictates of the Board of Fisheries, and the Board of Fisheries obviously is going to be looking at a little bit broader, probably even a little bit more socioeconomic view of things than the department is. The department's task is the biology. The board's task is allocation, which involves very obviously the socioeconomic factors. And I think the department, as I said, is doing the best they can with the information they have available. I would like to see the ability to improve on that information, not only in refining the quality of it, but possibly even finding new techniques that would allow them to really move ahead on in some areas to allow them the better ability to manage biologically. And again, the board is dealing with the allocation concerns, and depending on the management plans that are in place or whatever, of course, the department has to follow those dictates.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Howard, I think what I'm hearing you say is that you think the department's doing a good job considering the amount, the funds that they have. If they had more funds, they would be able to do a lot better job and a lot more. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I was trying to say that politely, but yeah, that would kind of be the bottom line. having been there and seen that, so to speak, The Alaska Department of Fish and Game, both Commercial Fisheries Division and Sport Fish Division, and I'm not faulting any of the other divisions, I just want to concentrate on those two, are some of the most professional biologists I've ever seen. These people are dedicated, interested, and they want to do the best possible job they can do. But you can only do so much when your budget is at a certain level and you're staffing it at a certain level. Now, they have for years tried to prioritize, the screaming needs, and a lot of stuff's probably been pushed back. And I think if they had additional funding and the ability to hire additional staff to address a lot of these concerns. Yes, I agree. I think they would be able to develop a lot more information that would allow them to more precisely manage a lot of these fisheries. It's never going to be perfect because nature tends to throw too many wrenches into things over the course of time. And then with an open seas situation, there's potential for some sort of interception or something happening out in the open seas that nobody can foresee. So there's a lot of variables involved, but I think if the department had the ability to improve and refine their techniques, I'm sure they would jump at that chance because it would make their life a lot easier.
Yeah. Follow up
Representative Wilson and then Representative Ledoux.
I thank you for that. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. It would be nice if we could fund them a lot better than we do. Thank you.
Representative Ledoux.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly also that it would be great if we could fund them better than we do. But since we deal with the world as it is, as opposed to the world as we would like it to be, I guess if we assume that the funding that Fish and Game is going to be getting is this year and the next is going to be somewhat similar to the funding that it has gotten in the last few years. I guess I get back to that original question of mine, making that assumption that we're not going to see more research because there's not going to be more money in Fish and Game. If you were on the Board of Fish, how would you deal with this? How would you do anything differently than the Board of Fish members are doing right now, considering the limited funding that and research?
Thank you. That's a very difficult question because I think the board is doing an excellent job with the information that they have available right now. I'm not sure that me as an individual is going to make any significant improvement difference on the board. I would like to think I would at least be able to maintain the standards that the board currently operates under. I think that the board is doing a good job given the information. I guess the problem I have, the bottom line is there isn't enough information that has been developed to allow a real in-depth, hands-on, very refined management technique for some of the fisheries around the state. And I would probably urge the department to take the resources they have available and try and concentrate on the problem areas, if possible, to develop information that would allow them to address those areas. And some of the other areas that are working well and where there's minimal problems, either with over-escapement or under-escapement or allocation fights or anything else like that, I kind of am of a mind of if it isn't broken, don't fix it. If things are working, let's let them work, but monitor to make sure that the necessary factors are there to see that it continues to work. And a lot of that involves getting the necessary fish in the streams to maintain and provide for the next generation and future generations of fish. I believe in what the governor has, her phrase of abundance management. I think if the department can orient towards that approach in some of the areas where there are problems and if they can start to manage to try and rebuild the stocks, in the short term, it may be burdensome to all of the users. In the long term, I think it would be beneficial not only to the environment and the ecosystem involved, but also all of the users regarding the harvestable surplus.
Thank you.
Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. DeLo, if you're confirmed, you'll be making very important decisions that are going to affect a lot of my constituents directly. I looked over your resume and I couldn't see any experience with any issues in Southeast. Can you let me know what you know about our issues down in Southeast are different commercial gear groups, dive fisheries, crab fisheries. Our sport commercial relationship is quite a bit different than where you reside. Can you expand on any experience or thoughts you might have on the Southeast region and how you'll approach our issues?
Well, I would approach your issues the same way I would be approaching issues in areas where I'm familiar with the situation. I am not that familiar with what happens in Southeast. I'm aware of, like, the troll fisheries and some of the dive fisheries and that, but in very general terms. And I would be relying on the information provided by the department and information provided by other members of the Board of Fish who are more familiar with that area, and from actually public testimony from the actual people involved, the user groups involved, why they feel they need something to happen or not happen, and what the biological consequences would be. And some of that, I would want to listen and learn. I'm from the South Central area, and I'm relatively familiar with what happens in this part of the world, but this is a big state, and I realize that there's going to be a tremendous learning curve to come up to speed on all of the different fisheries all around the state. And I'm not that familiar with what is going on in Southeast, but there are currently a couple of gentlemen at least on the board who are from that part of the world, and I would hope that they would enlighten me as to a lot of the situations occurring down there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. DeLo, you had initially said that you know, the chief job is to protect the resources, and then we've talked a little bit about escapements and all, and so I think that probably takes us into the idea of weak stock management. That is, if you have a mixed runs and you have one run that is low, everything should be done to make sure that you get the mean escapement, or at least the minimum escapement that you want in that stream, even if it requires curtailing harvest from other streams. Is that what you mean by protecting the resource and those streams that don't have adequate escapement?
Well, the Constitution mandates that all of the resources of the state be managed for sustainable yield. And I would interpret that to mean all of the drainages in terms of fisheries as best as possible. Now, we're only human. The managers are only human, and there are annual differences in the way the stocks return. And so not all streams are going to necessarily meet specific goals every year, but I think the managers should strive to do the best they possibly can to try and meet the minimum escapement goals, at least for the streams and rivers that have them. That's part of this lack of information that I was referencing earlier, is there are a lot of different systems in the state, and even in my particular area, that there are no escapement goals. There are virtually a total lack of information on what's happening in these areas. And it's very difficult to manage if you don't know what's there and what's going on. And these are some of the points that I would like to see the department be able to step up and start addressing, and because that provides, with more information, they can manage better. But yes, generally, I'm a believer in the sustainable salmon policy, and some of the specifications in there. So I suspect my short answer to your question would be generally yes.
And I guess I just wanted to follow up. It's not really the managers, it's the Board of Fish setting the policy that's going to be followed. So can you give me an example of what you would do in the area you're most familiar with? That's the Cook Inlet, as far as if we have a weak stock in, whether it's a Yetna or something else, how do you think that the policy should be set for, or do you think the board should set that policy? You think it should be left up to the managers for that, those allocation decisions or those conservation decisions based on a stock that you don't either know a lot about or that is underperforming, that's at the headwaters of numerous streams where you haven't, you know, lots of interception and lots of commingled fish in a fishery?
Well, Mr. Chair, the first point I would like to make is it's the board's place to do allocations, so I wouldn't want to see the department caught up in a subjective management scenario at their control that would be significantly allocated, because that opens the door for criticism of them and their actions by whatever user group or user groups feel that they're being slighted in the course of the management. That decision would have to stay with the Board of Fish, but then recognize that the Board of Fish relies heavily on information provided by the department in order to make these allocation decisions. And if there's no real information being provided, it makes it extremely difficult to make any kind of significant decision. And again, as I mentioned earlier, being an old fish and game guy, in light of no information, I would tend to err on the side of being very conservative in what I would allow to happen if I was the person involved in making that type of decision. Until we can develop enough information and see that the resource itself is being protected. We need to have that, and then hopefully be able to manage to a harvestable surplus, and then we can start discussing who's supposed to get what part of the pie. But we have to have that harvestable surplus, and that requires information and knowledge. And quite frankly, in our part of the world, I've heard the phrase from some other folks up here, we're basically a desert of knowledge on a lot of what's happening in a lot of the drainages. And that makes it very difficult to manage fisheries occurring further down in the inlet when we really don't know what we need to have up in this part of the world. And so, as I said, I would probably tend to err on the side of being conservative to make sure that the resource itself was being protected. And that would involve restrictions on all user groups.
Okay, so then, and I just point out that you are applying for the job to make those regulations in the absence of knowledge. So that's why, you know, it's critical on what your philosophy is. And I guess what I would like to know is, you know, you've got a specific, we've talked about the Yentna not having its escapement. So you were talking about restrictions downstream. Does that mean you would close the Yentna to sport fishing, where they're taking fish that have reached the river until it reaches its minimum escapement goal? As well as doing conservation downstream, or would you be looking at closures in downstream while you're still allowing fish to be taken out of the river?
A couple of things. First off, I did not apply for this position with the Board of Fisheries. I received a phone call from the governor's office. So I didn't really necessarily ask for it. They kind of asked me if I would do it. And then secondly, it's the department's position to manage the fish, not the Board of Fish. But to answer your question, the Yentna River has been basically catch and release only for the last several years because it has not made its minimum escapement. And so it's already been throttled back. There's been some significant economic impact to guides and bed and breakfasts and that sort of thing up in this part of the world, because people have canceled trips when they realize they can't keep any fish. And so that's already occurring. And The only thing that I'm aware of, at least, that is continuing is the subsistence fishery that is part of the Yetna area. And as far as I know, it's a relatively small number of fish that are being taken out for subsistence use, which, of course, has priority over everything. So we would throttle back on the rivers and take a look at how we could try and get more fish to the river. And until we got to a point where we started seeing enough fish to allow not only a significant harvest but also have adequate returns for the next generation propagation of fish and then whatever use would occur in river.
So am I understanding then that you as a member of the Board of Fish would support a policy that the sport fisheries are not going to be taking place in any of the rivers that haven't met their minimum escapement goals or are not anticipated to meet their minimum escapement goals?
Generally speaking, in that parameter, I would probably tend to say yes. But just as I'm sure there are some commercial take on some of these stocks, even though, you know, they're being throttled, the commercial industry is being throttled back in years of low returns, but there still is some commercial take. I would ask the managers to take a look at what the situation is on in-river. And again, subsistence has priority over everybody, so I'm not sure that we could throttle them back.
Okay.
A lot, but and then there would be a lot of throttling back, obviously, on the sports fishing. But if one industry is being restricted but still allowed to operate, I'm not sure it would be totally fair to shut another industry down completely. So it's a balancing act. We'd have to take a look at it. But if there's some serious questions, then probably the in-river users would end up suffering more than the saltwater people, simply because, you know, the fish need to be in the river to create the next generation.
Thank you. And we have a report. I think you were probably online when we were talking about success in achieving salmon escapement goals and monitored systems. And it's gone from we've had the number of monitored systems was at 39% above the upper goal in 2001. And we've pretty much had a steady increase so that we're now at 55% above those escapement goals now. How do you interpret that in light of, like, the Kenai Inca Seeloff, where they would be above the escapement goals and the maximum benefit to the people if we've got 55% of our streams above the maximum escapement goals? Do you see that as a problem, or do you see the more of a problem, the allocation, making sure there's upstream use?
I don't know that I would use the word problem yet. It definitely is something that needs to be watched. And I say that because it's my understanding that most of the streams that are included in this report are their sustainable escapement goals as opposed to biological escapement goals, and there's a difference in the relative biological impact of those two terms. And again, this harkens back to the better ability to manage. If we had enough information that it would that the managers could allow the commercial interests to zero in on the stocks that appear to be over escaping and allow the other stocks, and I realize again this is not a perfect situation, a very difficult thing to do, get a little bit better balance in what is being harvested commercially, and then what ends up making it into the river. The overescapement, yes, it's a concern. I'm not going to argue that point. I'm not going to argue against the idea that there is a lost financial interest on some of this stuff. But then there are other biological concerns that may offset that somewhat, in that, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to just sort of throw it out there. I was attending a Board of Game meeting, and of course all of the discussion about the McNeil River bear situation and how the population of bears has been declining over the last few years, et cetera. And the comment was made that the fish escaping into McNeil River also have been declining, the numbers of fish, over the last several years. And the speculation is maybe the lack of fish is why there is a smaller number of bears. So there's an environmental factor that's involved with this very heavily, too. The fish are important to the ecosystem itself as part of the nutrient cycling and everything else. And so there's a number of things that need to be looked at this in this situation. And I keep coming back to this lack of information, lack of ability to really tighten up on the management. And that's where I would like to see things go, is develop this information to be able to better harvest the surplus fish from a population that can readily support it, while allowing some of the weaker populations to get a few more fish, at least, and eventually rebuild themselves back to where they are significant contributors to a common property fishery also.
Okay, and just on your example there, the McNeil River fishery, commercial fishery, has been closed for a number of years. Are you suggesting then that the sport fishery in the McNeil River should probably need to be addressed if there's a reduction in the bear population over there because of lack of fish?
They need to find out why the fish numbers are dropping, whether it's a sport fish take or whether there's something environmentally occurring in the system itself, or maybe, I don't know where those fish, how they come in. Possibly there's an intercept going on somewhere way out down the line. I don't know. That would be some of the information that could be developed for that particular system. Again, the Commercial Fisheries Division has an ongoing genetics project right now to try and identify some of the various stocks within Cook Inlet. And many people, I think, are eagerly anticipating the report on that. And with that technique, they may be able to identify what's happening over in the McNeil system. I don't know. I don't know that that's a problem. That comment was made during the course of that particular Board of Game meeting. I don't know whether it's relevant or not, since those guys tend to concentrate on the furry critters instead of the scaly ones. I don't know how much expertise was in the room to make that a definitive statement. But if the concern and the problem in that system would be overfishing by sports fishing, then yeah, that would need to be addressed and shortened or throttled back, I guess is the term I would use, to allow things to rebuild and rebound.
Okay, and I just have one other question now before we go through. There are a lot of people online, but you wrote a letter on February 14, 2007 to ADF&G, and one of the paragraphs says that a conservation corridor that we're talking about, historically the Central Drift Fleet has fished according to inaccurate preseason forecasts, and they fish in the center of Cook Inlet and Northern District, where Northern District moves stocks move through to protect depressed northern bound salmon stocks. A conservation corridor may need to be established through the center of Cook Inlet in the Central District during the period from July 9th through July 25th. So have you come to a decision then that the commercial fishery in Cook Inlet needs this conservation corridor through the And of course, the peak of the fishery is the 15th through the 20th. So the time that you have allocated here means basically the entire bulk of the fishery would be shut down. And it seems like that you've come to this conclusion. You wrote this letter with Mr. Bruce Knowles. And I'm just curious, is that the position that you still hold?
No, I need to do a little explanation here. Yes, the letter was written to the Department of Fish and Game, the board support section. It was a cover letter to comments sheet that was developed by the Alaska Outdoor Council that was a response to a white paper that the Board of Fish had put together about some of the management plans in Cook Inlet, and they were asking for public comment on their white paper. And our advisory committee looked at their white paper and looked at what the AOC had written as a rebuttal and decided that that rebuttal by the AOC reflected a lot of the concerns that we in the northern Cook Inlet area had about what was happening to the salmon fisheries in Cook Inlet. Now, I went to the website for the Board of Fish to look and see who all submitted responses at the request of the Board of Fish to their white paper. And there were two other advisory committees that I remember. One was the Homer Advisory Committee, and the other one, I believe, was the Central Peninsula Advisory Committee. And I looked at what they wrote in the way of a response. And obviously, as I'm sure you're probably well aware, their concerns were over escapement in Kenai and Kisilov and dealing with some of those issues. We have the opposite problem in the Northern District with the Yetna missing its minimum escapement in four of the last 6 years. So since the role of an advisory committee is to represent the local views, the Homer and Central Peninsula committees were representing the views of their constituents in their area. The Mat Valley Advisory Committee, of which I was chair, was presenting the concerns that they had for their area. And basically, the committee voted to support the AOC position paper in response to the board's white paper. And then I was tasked with writing a cover letter kind of summarizing why we agreed with the AOC paper. And this comment about the conservation corridor was one of the items that came out in the course of the committee discussion. And as you're well aware, as chair of a committee, you sign the letter when you write it, whether you agree with it or not. And I'm not making a statement whether I agreed with it or not at this point. I'm just saying that I signed the letter because that was part of the job of being chair.
Okay, well, I guess my question is, do you or do you not agree with that statement in this letter that there basically should be a conservation corridor in the center of Cook Inlet Central District during July 9th through 25th, as stated in the letter? Did you vote for that? I guess you wrote the cover letter.
I wrote the cover letter based on the ideas that were presented during the course of the discussion in the advisory committee.
And do you agree or disagree with that?
I don't know that that's what needs to be done. It was thrown out, as you read, it may need to be done. It doesn't say it has to be done or it should be done. It was the idea that the various ACs were all suggesting various ideas.
Okay.
If you read the Homer response and the Central Peninsula, they were suggesting ideas on how to deal with overescapement. We were suggesting some ideas on how to deal with underescapement. Just basically floating ideas for the board's consumption and their ability to look at and discuss and recognize that one area has one type of problem and another area has what almost amounts to the exact opposite problem, and how can this be dealt with in a fair and equitable manner for all of the users in all of the areas.
Okay, thank you. Representative Ledoux has a question.
I don't mean to be rude.
Then we're going to the
rude, Mr.
telephone.
DeLeo, but it sounds to me like there was a discussion and there was maybe a vote on this. So kind of the bottom line is, do you agree with it or don't you agree with it? Did you vote for it or didn't you vote for it? Kind of like in a yes or no.
I voted to support the AOC position paper and the statements that were made in the AOC position paper.
And do I understand correctly that the statements in the AOC position paper suggested that a conservation corridor may need to be established?
I don't remember that they stated that specifically in there. I won't say that it's not in there, but I don't remember that they did.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to the phone lines, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to ask everyone to keep their comments as short as they're able to. We've had a pretty free-ranging discussion here to try and bring out some of the issues. So if there's a particular issue you want to identify, that's fine. Remember that this is not at all talking about personalities or personal attacks or anything else. This is looking at the qualifications and there are comments. It's not a question and answer period either, but if you have, so I appreciate people keeping their comments as short as they can to get across their point. Richard Thompson. In Kenai. Richard Thompson, are you online?
I have a brief statement for my testimony.
Before you do that, let me say that anybody that's at the LIOs, you can fax your written testimony to us. We'd appreciate that so we have it, and then you can summarize it. And if you're offline, we'll get you a fax number to send it in. But go ahead, Richard.
Yes, I'll just give verbal testimony. I'm reading off a piece of paper. My name's Richard Thompson. I'm a local commercial fisherman. I oppose Mr. Dello's confirmation for the simple reason that he brings biases to the board in opposition to commercial fishing and abundance-based management. He seems to have a preconceived agenda and wish to shut down local commercial fisheries through conservation corridors and further restrictions to all Cook Inlet commercial fleets. And I just want to say that I oppose him, and I'm a local voter.
Thank you very much. Let's stay in Kenai here. David Martin.
Yeah, my name is David Martin. I've been a Cook Inlet commercial fisherman for 36 years. I'm also concerned about Mr. Delo's unanimous vote from his committee on the establishing a corridor there in the Cook Inlet as an option for a management plan. One thing this would do is not only kill the drift fleet, but it also take away the emergency authority from the department to manage for abundance base. And it's my understanding, talking to some people that have had phone conversations with him, that he lacked digging up the reports and even talking to the local biologist on what the plans were, what the escapement goals were in various areas. I appreciated the state getting the foregone harvest report statewide. Quickly, every year in Cook Inlet, under the current management plans, the sockeye foregone harvest is 33%. The pinks are 98%. The chums are 95%. And the coves are 70%. I would like Mr. Delo to give your group any information he has about the studies, if there are any studies going on in the Matsu area, to see what he knows about that, and see if he's following up on these or just making a blanket statement that to get more fish in the upper district, we need to curtail commercial fishermen.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Paul Shadura.
Good morning, Chairman Seaton, members of the House Fisheries Committee. My name is Paul Shadura. I'm the Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association. We are an organization originally founded in 1953. We are the largest SetNet representation group within Cook Inlet waters and have members from the Kachemak Bay region in the Southern District, Central District, West Side, Kelligan Island, and the Northern District. We are here today to express our concern for a fair and equitable board process. Selection and confirmation of board members is of great concern for the historical commercial fisheries of Cook Inlet and of the state of Alaska. We question the appointment of two charter guide interests in the South Central area. The Alaska Daily News has recently reported that approximately 181,000 resident sport licenses were sold in 2006. Testimony in the House Committee on Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism stated that 499,000 sport licenses were sold in 2006. That's about 60% of the licenses. This leaves 318,000 licenses sold to non-residents. Currently, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Sport Division has set a goal of 450,000 licenses to fund their activities. Mr. Adello attended this meeting. We question how the appointee would see Sports Division's agenda and influence on policymaking decisions from the department in lieu of their financial goals. Will Mr. Adello consider only the voices of his acquaintances within his hometown region? Mr. Adello mentioned in the past testimony that he discussed fisheries issues with retired fisheries biologists. Were these Sport Division individuals? We would hope that that he would confer with current Cook Inlet confish biologists to get a current abundance-based management approach, one that is based on high, consistent, sustained yields.
Thanks, Paul.
I've got two more things. Can I finish?
Okay, quickly, please.
Okay. One more question we would like to ask is how will Mr. Adello promulgate regulation on abundance-based fisheries that result in lost potential harvest or lost opportunity? KPFA, to be clear, opposes loading the board with similar bias from discrete regions of the state. We support Mr. Webster's confirmation. We oppose Mr. Edfeld and Mr. Adello on that basis. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Seaton.
Chairman Seaton, for allowing me that time, extra time.
Thank you. And let's go to Bill Gifford.
Yeah, I'm here as a sport fisherman, and to respect the board's wishes, I'll keep it short.
Thank you.
I support Mr. Adello. I think that with his vast experience with fish and game, his educational background, and also his experience with fisherman access is extremely important to all fishermen of the state, and I think that would be an added benefit to the board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your getting right to the point on your testimony. Ricky Geese, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. Would you identify yourself and proceed with your testimony?
My name is Ricky Geese. I'm the executive director at Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. As an association, we've sent a letter of support for all the governor's nominations, all three nominations. After listening to the testimonies in both the Senate Resources and House Fisheries Committee, we're firmly behind support for all three nominees. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Andy Sesney?
Sesney.
Great. Go ahead. Identify yourself and who you represent.
My name is Andy Sesney. My wife and I have run a fly fishing business on the Upper Kenai River for 22 years. I'm in favor of Howard Adello's confirmation, and I think he'd be a good voice for all fishermen of Alaska. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Reuben Hanke?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for the time. My name is Reuben Hanke. I live in Soldotna, Alaska. My wife and I own and operate Harry Gaines Kenai River Fishing on the banks of the Kenai. I'm here to voice my support for Mr. Adello today, as well as the other two appointments that you've heard earlier here a couple of weeks ago. I think Mr. Adello brings a very good balance to the board. He's through his experience with fish and game and his experience with the AC process. So once again, I'd just like to say that I support all three of the nominees, including Mr. Adello. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
And thank you. Greg Bush or Brush?
Brush, yeah.
Brush.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Greg Brush. I'm a father, sport fisherman, and Kenai River guide. I'm representing myself only here today. I'm here today to speak in support of Mr. Howard Adello. And I will emphasize D'Lo. I'm commonly called Mr. Brush, and I'm sure that Mr. D'Lo doesn't appreciate that any more than I appreciate being called Mr. Bush. So anyway, I'm here to support his appointment to the Board of Fish. For the record, I don't know Mr. D'Lo personally, but after listening to him today, as well as several weeks ago with Senate Resources, he clearly wishes to put the resource first. He has an extensive fish and game background, obviously, and with the knowledge that comes with it. Finally, and perhaps most importantly to me personally, he appears to be a reasonable individual who has the ability to remain objective. And that's a very critical quality for a Board of Fish member. I think everybody would agree on that. For these reasons, I fully support Mr. D'Lo, and I look forward to hopefully working with him on Cook Inlet issues in 2008. That's all, sir.
Thank you very much. And Steve McClure?
Yes, Chair. Hello, my name's Steve McClure. I'm lifetime Alaskan. Have property on the Kenai River. I'm a Kenai River guide. I'll be really brief. Listening today to Mr. D'Lo, I strongly support him and the other two nominees from the governor's office. And like I said, I'll leave it really short, and I strongly support him. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. And Mark Glasmaker?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you for your time today. My name is Mark Glasmaker. I'm here today to pledge my support for Howard D'Lo. As a retired employee from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and someone who has dedicated many hours of community service with the Mat-Su Fish and Game Advisory Committee, Mr. D'Lo seems more than qualified to become a member of the Alaska Board of Fisheries. As a professional guide for the past 18 years here on the Kenai Peninsula and other waters across the state, I realize open-minded, well-qualified individuals are very important to the health and well-being of our various cold water fisheries. Again, I pledge my overwhelming support for Howard D'Lo and look forward to working with him at future Board of Fish processes. Thank you for your time today, Mr. Chairman.
And thank you. And Dr. Ma, are you there in Kenai as well?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I find it interesting that...
Are you representing yourself today?
Yes, I'm representing myself. Thank you. Okay. And I'm from Kasilof, a longtime resident of Alaska, former commercial fisherman. I find it interesting that Mr. D'Lo would talk about biological management. He talked about using the best data available and indicated that he knows the Cook Inlet area, his local area, the best. Applying that then to the case in point of the conservation corridor that he has proposed. In proposing that conservation corridor, I think that desert of knowledge he talked about is only his only desert of knowledge. It's his only. The Bendix sonar count for the Etna this last year was 93,000. The Ditson sonar counter was 150,000. The Weirs also had put the sockeye count in the Yetna at about 150,000. One estimate of the mark recapture study would put that at 450,000, which is roughly three times the upper end of the goal. And the other mark recapture estimate would put it at 840,000, which is roughly five times the upper range of the escapement goal. All of that knowledge about these escapement numbers were knowable and were out there prior to him writing that letter indicating the conservation corridor. So it's his lack of knowledge. He has not called the local offices, talked to our local biologists here. He has not called Cook Inlet Aquaculture. Apparently has not talked to any of the research biologists that are conducting these mark recapture studies, and he certainly has not called our offices or any of the offices of KPFA. So I find it a bit dangerous. There we have an individual who purports to put biological management and using best available data, but yet in his own backyard he fails to do that. So I cannot support this individual.
Thank you for your testimony. Let's go to Homer. Wesley Humbert.
Yeah, my name's Wes Humbert. I've been a commercial fisherman in Cook Inlet since 1966. Other than the 5 years I worked for the Department of Fish and Game in Homer. And I'd like to make a comment on Mr. D'Lo. His focus on the Yeti and his ideas fez its management. He shows that he does not understand the complex situation in Cook Inlet regarding the times of the Kenai and Kasilov mixed stocks and how they are mixed in the inlet. His ideas for fairness between user groups on the Yeti stocks is shutting down the commercial when in-river users are shut down, aren't shut down, would mean that the commercial fishermen would be the ones sitting idle while Kenai and Kasilov rivers over escape as they have in the past. I feel that he is not knowledgeable in any other areas of the state, only Cook Inlet, and it seems to me that he doesn't have enough knowledge on what's going on in other places. The board isn't strictly for Kenai and Cook Inlet area, so I do not think Mr. Della should be confirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Embry. Kevin Hogan?
Yes, my name's Kevin. Can you hear me now?
We hear you now.
My name's Kevin Hogan. I'm a Cook Inlet drifter and a fish buyer and homer, and I'll make it as short as I can. I do not support Mr. Dello's appointment. I think that the board has plenty of sport fish interest representation, and it's time that we had a balanced, fair and balanced board, and I don't think we're moving in that direction with this appointment. Thank you.
Thank you. And Rick Oldham.
Mr. Oldham had to leave. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Fairbanks. Richard Bishop.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Richard Bishop. I'm testifying on behalf of the Alaska Outdoor Council. I live in Fairbanks. The Alaska Outdoor Council, of which I'm currently president, strongly supports Howard Dello for appointment to the Board of Fisheries. He has the appropriate background, knowledge, experience, and I think attitude. We've been gratified that all of the appointments made to the Board of Fisheries have expressed as their first priority and most basic value the protection of the resource, and that's something that the Alaska Outdoor Council feels very strongly about, and we really appreciate hearing that from the candidates. Again, we support Howard Della's appointment. We found no opposition and no objection to the appointments of Mr. Ed Felt and Mr. Webster, but we didn't get around to formalizing a position on them. So to reiterate, we strongly support the appointment of Mr. Dello to the Board of Fisheries, and we urge you to forward his nomination. Thank you.
Thank you. And Rick Busey in Anchorage.
Hi, this is Rick Busey in Anchorage. I'm chairman of Kenai River Sport Fishing. In the interest of brevity, Mr. Geese has already stated our official position of support for Mr. Dello for appointment to the Board of Fish. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And thank you. Thank you for your taking time and the brevity. John Jensen in Petersburg.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Chair and House Special Committee on Fisheries. My name is John Jensen. I'm a commercial fisherman from Petersburg, also a member of the Board of Fisheries. I've only met Mr. Dello once, and I've been listening in on the interviews you guys have had with him, and I strongly support Mr. Dello, and I think he's got a good background, and I think he'll be a very partial member to the Board of Fisheries, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And Matt Sue, we have Andrew Couch.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. My name's Andrew Couch. I'm a sport fishing guide in the Matsu Valley. I personally know Mr. Dello. I serve on a Matanuska Valley Fish and Game Advisory Committee with him until he resigned with looking for this appointment to the Board of Fisheries. Mr. Dello, in my mind, is somebody that is very approachable to anybody. He listens well to what people have to say. I think he does have good knowledge of fisheries. And Cook Inlet certainly is not his only area of expertise. He worked out in the Kodiak with the hatchery situation out there. He certainly keeps up with different fish and game issues. Nobody can keep up with all of them, and nobody contacts everybody in the state. It's just too big of a state, and there's too many people. But I think Mr. Dello would make a fine Board of Fisheries member, and I think he had to be approachable to all user groups. Thank you.
Thank you very much. James Knowles in Matsu.
This is Bruce Knowles. I'm a sport fisherman, and I would like to give my support to Mr. Dello.
And I am the one that wrote that letter for the Matsu Advisory Committee. So if anybody has any questions they want to ask me, they're welcome to. But Howard has displayed a wide range of abilities and management skills when it comes to managing the advisory committee. He's got a fish advisory subcommittee, a hunting subcommittee, a trapping subcommittee. He's got these all broke down where we can get out, get the work done, and service the people of our area. So he is working very hard for the people of the Matsu and the state of Alaska. So I wholeheartedly support Howard.
Thank you. And on the sheet here, I have James. Is that a different person, or is that
Thomas? Yes, it's Thomas Bruce.
Okay. Ron Wilson, thank you for your testimony. Ron Wilson, are you there?
Yes, I am. My name is Ron Wilson. I'm representing myself. I support Howard being on the board. I've known Howard for about 13 years. We haven't necessarily agreed on everything, but he has showed me that he is a fair man. He does study the problems. If he doesn't know answers, he will find them out. And I think he's going to help manage the resource to what's good for the resource. And I highly recommend him as his appointment to the board.
Thank you very much. Was there anyone else online? Is there anyone here in the audience? Okay, thank you very much. We'll close public testimony on this appointee. Mr. DeLo, I just had one other question, and that was there was referenced another hearing that took place recently here in Juneau, in which they were talking about board of fish changes to management plans to have personal use, subsistence, and sport fisheries kind of lumped together as a priority before commercial fishing, and that commercial fishing then would be allowed the excess harvest. Did you hear that hearing, or can you express your opinion on that view?
Mr. Chair, no, I did not hear that hearing. I don't know what occurred at that hearing or what was said. I'm assuming from what you said there's a proposal to increase rather than subsistence only as being the first priority. They're talking about expanding more to the various other in-river uses. Am I understanding you correctly, sir?
Yes, and it was to give a priority to those and then have a commercial fishery only on the excess that would be required for personal use in other fisheries.
Well, my initial reaction to that is I would like to hear a whole lot more about the arguments on why they would want to do that, whoever they is. Again, I support the idea of subsistence as a priority use, and kind of stepping back down, then I see most of or virtually all of the other uses as fairly equal. And I would like to hear the arguments on why this is being proposed before I would care to make a comment as to whether I support or oppose.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. DeLo? The bells are ringing. We're a little late here. Do I hear any other questions? Seeing no other questions. Thank you, Mr. DeLo, for appearing and answering all our questions here. Do I have a motion to forward motion that the Fisheries Committee has reviewed the qualifications of Mr. DeLo and will forward the name for consideration at a joint session? And just so that everybody knows, this does not imply either support or opposition to the nominee, just that we have reviewed his qualifications. Representative Wilson.
I so move.
We have a motion. Do we have an objection?
I was trying to remember the words.
Yeah. Seeing no objections, the Fisheries Committee will forward the name of Mr. DeLo for consideration at the joint boards, and if everybody'd sign it. We also had on our list today House Bill 188. Obviously, we are out of time. We had one person that had called in to testify on 188. 188, one of the things that we wanted to do was over the interim make sure that there was available on basis a updated copy of what was being considered, and that was done through a sponsor substitute. And just so everybody's knowledge, a committee substitute does not appear on basis until it passes out of a committee. And so we were able to have a sponsor substitute with updated language and updated purpose, and so that's on the table. If the sponsor wants to have some consideration of that at the next meeting on Friday, we can do that. So we will postpone 188 till Friday when we are taking up HB 16, which is scallops and hair crab. And is there anything else to come before the committee? See nothing, then we will adjourn at, wait 1 minute. We had one person to testify on 188, and let me, are they? Alec Branson in Seward, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Alex, would you, we have just a couple minutes. Would you like to go ahead and give your testimony on 188 so you don't have to show up again on Friday?
I was just contemplating that. The wording on 188, it seems to contradict itself in several places. And I think it's poorly written, and it says it doesn't allocate a cooperative fishery, but it expressly lists that I'm a commercial fisherman for the last 25 years, and I currently fish in Chignik, by the way, so my cooperative wording has a direct impact on me and several others.
Okay, first of all, Mr. Branson, would you identify yourself on the record, and do you have the current copy of the sponsor statement for 188, or do you have House Bill 188?
I have the sponsor statement and a copy of the new bill text, the sponsor substitute.
Okay, good. And would you go ahead and identify yourself and who you're representing, and go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Alec Branson, and I live in Seward. I've lived here for 41 years, and I've been a commercial fisherman for 25 years, and I'm representing myself in this particular matter.
Okay, the bells are ringing, so please quickly go ahead, and if you need to come back on Friday, you can do that.
Yeah, it's just the wording of the allocation of within. It's giving a carte blanche to the Board of Fish, and it expressly has to deal with the Chignik Co-op. All the wording is clearly angled that way, even though it says it has nothing to do with it, but it would open a loophole for cooperative fisheries, and we don't want to see that again.
Okay, thank you very much. And you say you fish in Chignik?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and thank you very much. Are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony, and we will be adjourned till Friday at 8:30.